Alright, morning. Today's daf is daf Mem Beis in Brachos. We're on Mem Alpha Mud Beis. We're at the two dots. Itmar. Okay, a major discussion yesterday about Kedimas HaBrachos. Yesterday's daf, the biggest topic of yesterday, most comprehensive topic of yesterday was what is the proper order of Brachos? You have a number of foods in front of you. And there are two scenarios that were set up from yesterday's daf. One where the two items have the same bracha, like an apple and a grape. Or another scenario in the Gemara of yesterday was that the two items of food don't have the same bracha. So there was a discussion in the Gemara, a lengthy discussion in the Gemara, and a complex one in terms of what is Kedimas HaBrachos. As I mentioned yesterday, it turns into a machlokas rishonim, what the proper sequence should be. And I mentioned yesterday also the Shulchan Aruch actually brings down both opinions amongst the Rishonim, Rambam and Tosfos. And so yesterday's daf left us a little bit confused. Today's daf is also just a lot of practical halach lamasa. We're going to focus today on the Gemara as we are interested in just getting the basics of the Gemara down. And then you can speak to your local rabbinic authority in terms of what brachas you should be making. Itmar, so let's start with the Gemara. Figs and grapes are brought to you in the middle of the meal. Amar Avuna tuna brach lefneim veintuna brach lachreim. So now what do you do? So you're in the middle of the meal. So the Gemara starts off with an assumption, which I'm sure we all know, but let me just spell out the assumption. So you're in the middle of the meal, so you don't have to be making brachas. Meaning in the middle of the meal, so you wash, you make hamotzi. So now everything that's in the meal is part of the meal. Meaning that bread is such a staple food, it's such a main food, that basically it anchors. It anchors everything else at the meal, so that I don't have to make a bracha on anything that comes as a result of the meal. So let's say you have grapes and figs that are brought to you in the middle of the meal. So we start off with the opinion of Rav Huna, which is, tu'unim bracha lefneim ve'in tu'unim bracha l'achareim. It requires a bracha rishona, but doesn't require a bracha achrona. V'chein am Rav Nachman, tu'unim bracha lefneim ve'in tu'unim bracha l'achareim. And Rav Nachman agrees with that as well. Rav Sheshes Amar to an Ibracha Bein Lefneim Bein Lacharim. Now Rav Sheshes says like this, it requires a bracha both before and a bracha after. So according to Rav Sheshes, you're given grapes in the middle of the meal, so you make an Allah Eitz over the grapes, and then when you finish eating the grapes, you say, Allah Eitz Val Priya Eitz, you make a bracha Achas Main Shalosh. Because look, this idea that you're going to make a bracha rishona, but you're not going to make a bracha achrona, that's absurd. We only have that by Pasa Baba Kistin. I will not explain what that is yet. Give me a moment. Bilvad. But in other words, just right now, let's just stay on the foods that are coming in the middle of the meal. There's one exception where I'll make a bracha before, but I won't make a bracha afterwards. Otherwise, you always make a bracha before and a bracha afterwards. Okay, so far we have now in our Gemara a number of opinions. Three Amoraim, two opinions. I know you'd expect three opinions. But three Amoraim, two opinions. But basically, what happens to food that's introduced in the middle of the meal? So according to the first opinion of the Gemara, the opinion of Rav Huna, the opinion of Rav Nachman, you make a bracha rishona, but you don't make a bracha achrona, meaning because you're going to bench afterwards, and the benching is going to cover it. And according to Rav Sheshes, you need to make a bracha before and a bracha afterwards. What's the halacha? Upligi de Rabbi Chiya. So the Gemara says all this is in disagreement with Rabbi Chiya, an objection to Rabbi Chiya. Dam Rabbi Chiya pas poteros kol minei maichel. Rabbi Chiya says what we know, because this is the accepted halacha, which is bread. Bread's the poter. It exempts everything that comes in the course of the meal. So anything you're having during the meal, while you're eating bread, it doesn't need a bracha. V'yayin poter kol minei mashkim. And oh, by the way, wine is also going to be potering all drinks. Meaning you make a bar pir gafen on wine, and then you have another drink, a nice tea and orange juice or whatever. You don't make a bracha on the drink. The bracha over wine is going to cover your drink.
I'm a Rav. It's a
bracha levatola
if you make one?
It's not, yes. Correct. It's not necessary. I'm a Rav Papa Hilchasa. So now Rav Papa says, okay, so now we're going to say halacha. Dvar mabai machmas asuda besoch asuda. If anything is coming machmas asuda as a result of the meal, meaning it's coming because this is part of the meal. In other words, when you present your menu at the beginning of the meal and saying, this is what's going to be served, right? I'm sure we all do that at the table. Once upon a time, I went somewhere where they did that. I'm saying a person's house. Where they actually, yeah, I know, so impressed. Yeah. But it was once in my lifetime, though. That's it. So, okay. So, but anyway, so they tell you. So, in other words, anything that's coming as a result of the, I know the restaurant, yes, that I expect. So, habay machmas asuda mitoch asuda. So, anything that comes as a result of the meal in the middle of the meal ain't a nuutunim bracha lo lefneim v'lo l'achareim. It does not require bracha neither before nor after. In other words, because the hamotzi is going to cover your bracha before, and your benching is going to cover your bracha afterwards, and good, and everything is simply part of the bread. It's anchored by the bread. Now, but what if something's coming not as a result of the meal? Okay, so in other words, let's call it dessert. Now, I know in our culture, you know, we're kind of used to dessert. We kind of expect dessert to come, but still, it's not part of the meal. Meaning it's after, meaning plates are cleared, right, table's cleared, and now, okay, dessert. So, ushalom achmas asuda besoch asuda, so if you're still in the meal, meaning you're still between hamotzi and benching, so tunim brach lefneim v'tunim brach l'achreim. You'll have to make a bracha rishona, but you do not make a bracha achrona. You make a bracha rishona. So in other words, if grapes are brought to you after the meal is over, but before you benched, so you make a bari priya eitz. But you don't say afterwards an al eitz al priya eitz because you got benching, and benching will cover you afterwards. La achar hasu'uda tunim bracha ben lefneim ben l'achreim. Now if it's after the su'uda, meaning you benched already, so then it's going to require a bracha before and a bracha afterwards. Okay, now that is the Gemara, that's the halacha, it's very clear. In terms of this, the halacha is very clear. Now the Gemara made a comment, which was, you know, you never make a bracha before and you don't make a bracha afterwards except for pasta baba kistim. So let's warm ourselves up, because today's daf membeis is really all about pasta baba kistim. So let's warm ourselves up to the idea of pasta baba kistim, and let's introduce ourselves with the Rashi. Now the Rashi over here, I'm going to read the Rashi, we're going to go through the Rashi together. Rashi's hard, meaning the words aren't hard, the translation of Rashi isn't hard, but conceptually Rashi's just difficult. So I'm not sure if this Rashi is a good starting point for a discussion on pasta baba kistim, and I'll do it anyway. We'll read the Rashi anyway, and we'll gain an understanding of pasuk baba kistim. But please understand that right now, pasuk baba kistim, as presented to us in our Gemara, is in the context of in a meal. Meaning, the idea is that if you're eating something in a meal, to make a bracha rishona, but not to make a bracha achrona, that's absurd, except for pasuk baba kistim. So what is pasuk baba kistim, and why does it not require bracha achrona? Okay, this is our starting point for the discussion. So Rashi says, "Pasuk b'kisim la'achar achila u'birchas amazon hayurigilim lahavi kisnin." So Rashi says like this: after you eat and after you bench, now the fact that Rashi says that is amazing, and I'll show you Tosfos in just a moment. But right now, let's just do Rashi. After you eat and after you bench, so the custom back then was to bring kistin. Now, kistin from the word kiss, their pockets. Vein klayos lefishi yafin lalev. Now, what were they? Roasted grains, toasted grains. It's good for the heart, right? The cardiologists of the Zman of the Gemara and the time of the Rishonim, they recommended toasted grains. Kedamina ba'alma, right? I guess it's whole wheat, you know. So kedamina ba'alma, hani kistin demala liba. Okay, of course, Gemara in Erevin. It's good for the heart. Now, I don't know what Rashi is describing over here. Phil, any idea what this may be? But together with them, they would bring bread that was baked, that was kneaded with spices. And they're made decorative, and some of them are shaped in the form of birds, and some of them are shaped in the form of trees. And you only eat a little amount. And look, it's got a lot of spices, it's got nuts, it's got almonds, and you're not eating a lot of it. It does not require a bracha achrona. Right? Bracha me'in gimel means a bracha achrona. It does not require a bracha achrona because you didn't eat a lot of it. And then Rashi says something which is just confounding. And he says, you know what it's like? It's like your rice bread. Remember we talked about your rice bread, how you made a bracha rishona, but you didn't make a bracha achrona? Remember that? We discussed that earlier. Damina bepirkin, b'tchila borim min mezonos v'sof v'lo klum. Okay, and he compares this pasuk baba kistim to rice bread. So here's what Rashi's saying. Rashi's really saying a lot. Rashi's saying, first of all, the pasta baba kistan was eaten after you benched. That's number one. Number two, says Rashi, we only ate a little bit of it. Meaning, remember, it's post-meal. We're pretty full. So it's kind of like an after-dinner mint, if you will. And the word mint over here could be taken very literally, because Rashi says it's filled with spices and nuts and fruit. In other words, it's a pastry, but it's got a lot of stuff in it. And finally, Rashi says, and you'll make a bracha rishona because you're going to eat something after you bench. You're going to make a bracha rishona, but you're not going to make a bracha achrona because you're not eating a lot of it, says Rashi. It's like rice bread. Okay. That last part of Rashi is very difficult because you remember earlier we talked about eating rice? So we did say that after you eat rice, you don't make an ala mechia. But if you remember, we also did say that after rice, you make a bori nefashos. There is a bracha achrona after rice. It just happens to be that it's not ala mechia, it's bori nefashos. So Rashi over here saying that the pasta baba kistan is just like rice bread. And just like by rice bread, you don't make a bracha achrona, but that's not totally accurate. That's not true. We do make a bracha achrona after rice. Okay. So this Rashi is certainly difficult, but I mean, in other words, I don't know if we're going to look at this Rashi globally. We're just going to look at this Rashi in the context of our Gemara, and he's just trying to explain why our Gemara says you're not making a bracha achrona after your pasta baba kistan. Yeah, so it sounds like from Rashi, Rashi doesn't say those words, but it's fair to speculate that from based on Rashi, you're not eating a shear, and that's why you wouldn't be making a bracha achrona. But if that's true, so then why doesn't the Gemara just simply say that? Meaning, it's all about the fact that you didn't eat a shear. Right. Okay, that's... Okay, it's a difficult Rashi, and as I pointed out, it's not the best way to introduce ourselves to the whole concept of pasta baba kistan, but it's Rashi, it's a primary source, and if you take a look at Tosfos over here, I don't want to get too involved in this, because... Whatever. You take a look at Tosfos over here. Tosfos cannot imagine, like Rashi saying that we're talking about you ate the pasta baba kistan after benching. I mean, he cannot imagine that that's what the Gemara is talking about. See Tosfos, the fourth Tosfos on the Amud, where he asks questions on Rashi, and he's not in agreement with Rashi. Okay. In the meantime, however, we're going to go on. We're in the bottom of the Amud. And by the way, later this morning we're going to spend a lot of time on pasta baba kistan, so stay tuned as we're going to broach the subject again. We're 5 lines from the bottom of the Amud, Mem Aleph Amud Bei Shalu Es Ben Zoma Mimnei Ma Amru Dvar Ma Bar Machmas Asuda B'Soch Asuda Einam Tu Nebracha Lo Lefnei V'Lo La'Achrayim. So let me ask you a simple question: why no bracha? I eat food in a meal, right? Not bread, but meat. Or chicken, or vegetables. I eat any food in the meal. It doesn't require bracha. Why not? So I'm a lehem. Oh, pas potrasam. So the answer is bread. That's the answer. It's a very simple answer. It's bread. Bread is the anchor. So ihachi yayin nami niftarei. I'm sorry, niftarei pas. So let me ask you now a simple question. So you're drinking wine in the middle of a meal. So you don't need to make a bracha, right? But that's not the halacha. The halacha is that when you drink wine in the middle of the meal, you need to break a bracha over the wine. Now I'll say, why do people not know that? So this is my speculation. First of all, maybe people do know that. Okay, that would be good. Or I think people don't know that because, generally speaking, when do people drink wine? So Friday night, right? And what happens on Friday night? So you made a bracha over wine at Kiddush. That bracha over wine over Kiddush covers you now for any wine that you drink later on, even when you drink wine during the meal. So I think people get a little bit confused or lulled into this idea that, well, if I'm drinking wine in the middle of the meal, on Friday night I didn't make a bracha over the wine in the middle of the meal. So if in general I have a cup of wine, a glass of wine, cup of wine, it shows you how sophisticated I am. If you have a glass of wine on a Wednesday night in the middle of the meal, so I don't need to make a bracha because I didn't do one on Friday night. What people, I think, fail to realize is you did make a bracha over a cup of wine. You just did so at Kiddush. Okay, so in other words, what the halacha is that if you have a glass of wine, even in the middle of the meal, so you need to make a bracha. So the Gemara's question now is a simple one. Well, why? Meaning if everything else is being covered by your motzi, so why shouldn't wine be covered by your motzi? Shani yayin de goyim bracha la'atmo. So wine's different because it's goyim bracha la'atmo, causes a bracha to itself. What does that mean? So take a look at the top Rashi. Top Rashi and the Amun Membeis Amun Aleph. Rashi writes, "Become a mekamusu ba umevarchin alav ve'afa pishalo ha'yitzrichon l'shtiyasal." There are many times where halacha forces us to drink wine.
Wedding.
Okay, Kiddush Friday night. I may not be interested in wine. In fact, more often than not, almost always. So when the question is, "Do you want wine or grape juice?" I say, "I want grape juice." I'm not a drinker. I'm just not. So, but anyway, but in other words, but the halacha forces us many times to drink wine. You go to a wedding, havdalah. In other words, there are many times where we are to drink wine. Wine comes bifnei atzma. It really is an independent. And so therefore, once it turns into an independent, so even though you're in the middle of the meal, and even if you may even be interested in wine in the middle of the meal, but because wine is such an independent, so therefore it's always going to warrant its own bracha, even if you're drinking it for the first time in the middle of a meal. Okay. Ad kan. Okay, the Gemara now. Rav Huna achal tlesa rifta b'nei tlasa b'kava. Rav Huna ate a lot of bread. I mean a lot. Okay, now the Gemara describes it as 13 loaves, each loaf made up of a third of a kav. Now a kav is 24 eggs, so a third of a kav is 8. Each loaf is made up of 8 eggs, the volume of 8 eggs, I mean. I'm not talking about the recipe. Each loaf of bread is made up of the volume of 8 eggs, and he ate 13 of them.
It's a heart attack
coming. Okay, it's a lot. And then, lo birech. And then when he finished, he didn't bench. Okay, well, what? Why he didn't bench? Amle Rav Nachman, ade kafna. Now Rav Nachman says to him, ade kafna. Now, first of all, why didn't he bench? And second of all, what is Rav Nachman saying to him? What do those words mean? So let's go to Rashi. So, okay, now Rashi tells us, first of all, you have to know the following. Now, even though I said he ate 13 loaves of bread, so Rashi says it's not bread. So Rashi says it's Pasababa Kistim. Okay, here we go again. Now it's funny, by the way, compare this Rashi to what we did the beginning of today's daf, where Rashi says, you know, people eat it after a meal and people don't eat a lot of it. And meanwhile, Rav Huna just ate 13 of these. Okay, so I told you that Rashi we did earlier is just a challenging Rashi, but anyway, pasabah bekistim v'lo birech acharav, and he didn't bench afterwards. So Amar Rav Nachman ade kafna. Okay, so what does that mean? Ade. So first of all, Rashi says elu klomar elu l'ra'avon echlu. I'm reading Rashi v'achila meruba kazu lo nifteres mebracha ela shel ela kosha achirim kovin achilas bekach. Town birchas amazon kach pirush Rav Haigon. Rav Nachman's giving him mussar, and Rav Nachman's saying to Rav Huna, "Are you kidding me? You just ate 13 loaves of this, so you may say to yourself, it's pasabah bekisnim. There's no benching required. You just ate 13 loaves. You were kovei asuda. That's a meal. You should bench." So that's what Rav Nachman says to Rav Huna. And Rav Huna's thought process is, well, it's not really bread, it's pasabah bekisnim, which I know we really haven't identified yet, but in other words, it's not bread, so therefore I don't need to bench. And then what Rav Nachman is telling him is, you need to bench. That's one pshat. Now Rashi does offer another pshat, which he himself does not like. Rashi says, Rabbi Sin Pirshu, he quotes other rabbis, and says, Telesa rifta mi pashalanu v'lo bir chacharav mishum t'lo saveya. Meaning it's real bread we're talking about. Not pasababa kisnim, but it's real bread. And why didn't he bench? Because he wasn't full. And you know that the requirement to bench is only when you're full. Now, you remember the Gemara we did back on Daf Chaf, where the Gemara says, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu show us favoritism? And the Gemara's response to that was, well, how can he not show his favoritism? Meaning, we go above the letter of the law, so therefore for HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes beyond the letter of the law. Meaning, what do we do? This is the Gemara, back on Daf Chaf. Even though min HaTorah, we don't have to bench until we are full, but what we do is we require benching, even if we eat only a kezayis, or even if we only eat a kebetza. A machlokus in terms of what the minimum amount of bread you need to eat is. So, what Rashi suggests over here is that Rav Huna didn't, he knew the Gemara in Daf Chaf. I mean, he didn't have a Gemara in front of him, but in other words, Rav Huna went according to the according to the laws of the Torah, and therefore he did not bench until he was full. And Rashi to this says, I can't believe, I cannot believe that that's really the pshat over here. Well, the kach perish Rav Yehudai Bahag. And by the way, who says this pshat in the Gemara? So he says it's a Bahag, Rav Yehudai Gon. And I can't believe it says Rashi. Meaning what? Rav Huna didn't hold of the Gemara earlier? Well, we know there's an obligation to bench, albeit midah rabbanan, but there's an obligation to bench after you eat a kazayis of bread. And Rav Huna doesn't subscribe to that? I can't believe it. So Rashi says, I'm going to go back to my first pshat. We're not talking about real bread. We're talking about pas haba b'kisnim. Okay. Now, the let's do a little bit more Gemara, and then I'll come back.
Yeah, that was Mezonot and Bracha Charana.
It's not clear. It's funny. It's not clear what Bracha he made beforehand. So again, it's based on the two Pshatim and Rashi. Meaning, if you go with Rashi's first Pshat, it's possible Baba Kisim, so he's going to make a Mezonos. If you go with Rashi's second Pshat, which is that it was real bread, so he may start off with a motzi. But because he didn't eat enough, he didn't bench. So, the Gemara says that if other people kovei asuda, so therefore you have to bench. Okay, so here we are now at the point where we can just do a little bit of a better job understanding what is pasa baba kisnim. Meaning, let's go with Rashi's primary pshat, the one that he himself prefers, and that what Rav Huna was eating was pasa baba kisnim, and Rav Huna didn't bench at the end of it, because he felt like, eh. And Rav Nachman said, no, don't poo-poo it. Meaning, you ate enough that people are koveya su'uda, it's a meal, and therefore you need to bench. So first of all, what is pasa baba kisnim? So we got a feel for it earlier this morning because we saw the Rashi and Memal from Mudbeis, but there basically are three basic opinions in terms of what is pasa baba kisnim. First of all, Rabbeinu Chanana, you're not going to find on the daf. You're going to find it in the back court in Rabbeinu Yonah. So he says basically it's anything which has a pocket that's filled. In other words, it's a pastry or
pita bread.
Maybe a calzone. Okay? Maybe a calzone. Right? That's, well, in other words, it's a dough, but it's a dough that it's filled with something as it's being baked. Now it happens to be Rabbeinu Chanan says it's filled with honey. So in other words, it's a pastry filled with honey. So pastry is probably the best way to describe it. That's Rabbeinu Chanan. The Rambam writes that it's actually bread that was kneaded with something other than water, with honey, with oil, or milk. Meaning not that it doesn't have any water in it, but in addition to water, it also has honey, oil, or milk. Basically, our bread, right? In other words, our bread, according to the Rambam, is pasa baba kisnim. And finally, the third opinion is Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon says anything that's baked into a hard, crispy bread. That is pasa baba kisnim. And so that means like this. The halacha will be that if you eat any, well, again, depends who you ask, but let's say like the Rambam. According to the Rambam, if I eat a bread that is baked with oil, honey, or milk, now milk is funny because then you get onto the issue of dairy bread, but, okay? In other words, but if I bake bread and it's kneaded with oil or honey, in addition to the water, so now it's pasa baba kisnim, and now what? So if I'm just eating it as a snack, mezonos followed by alamechia. If I'm eating it as a meal, what the Gemara calls koveya su'uda, so then I'll make a motzi and then I'll bench afterwards. Good. So in other words, so basically that's the halacha pasa baba kisnim. It's important to know. So who do we follow of these three opinions? So the Shulchan Aruch says, you know what? Three for three, we'll go for all three. Meaning not because the Rambam agrees with the other two, not because Rav Hai agrees with the other two, but simply because over here now it's a question of what bracha to make. The whole idea of making a bracha is a midah rabbanan. I understand benching afterwards is daraisa, but the whole idea of what bracha to make is a midah rabbanan. So therefore, if you have anything which conforms to any one of these three definitions, it will be pasa baba kisnim. And if I'm not being koveya su'uda, if I'm not making a meal out of it, and so therefore you are going to make mezonos and alamecha afterwards. So the easy issues are cakes, pretzels. Okay, so cake obviously is full of oil. So if you're not making a meal out of your cake, which from a dietary standpoint, it's not a good idea. But if you're not going to make a meal out of your cake, so therefore you're just having a piece of cake, it's mezonos followed by then by alamechia. A pretzel, which is a hard, crispy dough, a dough baked into a crisp. So according to Rav Haigon, and that's accepted halacha, you're going to make a mezonos followed then by an alamechia. Okay, and if you're eating a pastry, so then it's going to be a mezonos followed by alamichia, as long as you're not being kovei asuda. But once you decide that you're going to be kovei asuda over it, so then...
You're going to eat a bag of pretzel. It's
yeah. Right. So then you're going to be kovei asuda, so then it's hamotzi to begin with, followed then by benching afterwards. Yes, the big discussion is, what is the definition of being kovei asuda? What exactly does that mean? Okay, so you'll see, it's very hard to qualify. You'll see in the Gemara itself, the Gemara is going to have difficulty qualifying it. So the classic, I'm eating one slice of pizza, I'm eating two slices of pizza. Okay, fine. In other words, that's obviously the ramifications of this entire discussion of when exactly you're being kovea se'uda. Let's go on in the Gemara. Rav Yehuda v'asik le'lebrei Bei Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. Okay, so there's a chasna, which means that two families are getting together. Now, I'm not there yet in life, and God willing, I will be there. But in other words, when two families get together and their children get married, so there's not always agreement. In fact, the Gemara says elsewhere, you know, there's a fight at every chasna. Okay, so it's just part of it. So Bei Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva, I said Kamei Pasah Babikistim. So now. Seems to be at the chasna. I'm not really sure when this happened, but in other words, but now brought in front of them was Pasa Baba Kistim. So Kiyasa Shamina Dekame Varche Hamotzi. And what did he hear? His Mechutanim made a Hamotzi on this Pasa Baba Kistim. So Amar Lahu, my Tzitzi Dekashamino. I'm hearing a Tzadi, right? The Tzitzi, the Hamotzi, the Tzadi of the Hamotzi. What are you doing? You're washing. You're making hamotzi. Like what is that? Are you making hamotzi? Amrlei in. So the answer is yeah. That's what we do in our family. We make hamotzi over Pasa Baba Kistim. Now he quotes a brisa. Which is quoting Rav Mona, and he quotes Shmuel, who says that the halach is that anytime you eat Pasa Baba Kistim, and it sounds like the way this is being presented, you don't even have to be Koveya Seuda. Anytime you eat Pasa Baba Kistim, the correct bracha is Hamotzi, followed of course by benching. Samar Lahu, Ein Halacha Karabi Mona. And so for the first fight between the two new families, who are now related through children, So now the first fight is whether or not you make hamotzi over Pasa Baba Kistim. Itmar Amri Leva Hamar Hu Da'amar Mishmei Deshmo Lachmanis Ma'arvin Behem Mavarchin Lav Hamotzi. So the Gemara says, okay, but I heard in the name of Shmuel that you have these lachmaniot, right? These small rolls. Now what exactly they are? So take a look at Rashi, take a look at Tosfos. Everyone's throwing around old French words. I don't know what each one means. But in other words, whatever it is, it's some sort of puff pastry, whatever, some sort of cakey bread. I'm doing a wonderful job. So whatever it is, Lachman is Ma'arvin Bahan. So in other words, you can make an Erev over it. And Mevarchin Olav Hamotzi, and you make Hamotzi over it. So and that's the name of Shmuel. And we're not talking about bread. We're talking about something which is more like Pasa Baba Kistim. Shani Asim Dekavasu Daiser Alayhu. He said, good, good. So, but like we just said earlier, and we're saying it now again, when you're Koveya Seuda over Pasa Baba Kistim, so you make Hamotzi to begin with, and you bench afterwards. Avayechad Alayhu Kavasu Daiser Alayhu. But if you're not being Koveya Seuda, so then no. You don't make Hamotzi. Okay, now new topic of discussion. Sorry, should have made a pause and recognize we are done now with the discussion of Pasa Baba Kistim. Okay, so we have something which is not bread exactly. It's more like, well, again, there are three definitions of what it is. I shared with you Rabbeinu Chananel, Rambam, and Rav Haigon. Shulchan Aruch says we can be makel like all three. So if you have anything which is a pocket filled with honey, or bread that was kneaded with oil, or honey, or it's baked into a crisp, so then the brach, if you're not koveya seuda, it's mezonos followed by ala mechia. If you are being koveya seuda, it's hamotzi followed then by benching. Okay, I know I had a Sephardic family over my house over the summer, so they told me that with no disrespect, they want to when they make hamotzi, so they don't want my wife's challah, meaning they'll be more than happy to eat it in the meal, as part of the meal, but they don't want it for hamotzi. Why? Because the Rambam's of the opinion, I just quoted it, the Rambam's of the opinion that such bread, meaning not my wife's bread, all bread, is really pasta babikistim. And so if you want bread, it's got to be flour and water.
Because of sugar in it?
And sugar, I don't know. Meaning, is the sugar going to turn into, according to the Rambam, is it going to turn into pasta babikistim? That's a good question.
They made a matzah.
I don't know. So they made a matzah.
That's not real Sephardi either.
Okay, so
that's also cracker. That's a good.
I'm just telling you what happened. No,
but we're making motzi on matzah.
Yeah, but that's, I understand that. But in other words, that the cracker because of Rav Haigon. But in other words, according to the Rambam said, right? Okay. Anyway.
Did they bring their own?
So no, I have matzah.
Oh,
I gave him matzah. I told you, Shulchan Aruch goes like all three. The Shulchan Aruch goes like he follows like all three, which means that if it, any one of these things, it would be possible. Baba kissed him. Okay, so all right. Anyway, just sharing with you what happened this summer. Yeah, sure, sure, absolutely. Rav Papa Ikla Lebe Rav Huna Breid Rav Nasan Basa Degamer Sudai Saisa Kamamida Lamecha. Okay, meal came to an end. Now they didn't bench yet. Okay, it's an important detail. But the meal came to an end. And so, in other words, everyone's done now. Basically, what we're going to be discussing from here until the Mishnah is, what signifies the end of the meal? Okay? Usually when the table is cleared and there's nothing left on the table, that's a good hint. But we're going to now talk about halachically what signifies the end of the meal. So the story goes like this, where Rav Papa went to the house of Rav Huna, and the meal was over, and I still come and meet Lamecha. And something was brought for them to eat. So Rav Papa helped himself. Okay, good. So hasn't the meal come to an end? And once the meal has come to an end, aren't you not allowed to eat? Meaning, once the meal has ended, so now the next step is benching. And not only is the next step benching, but you're not allowed to eat anything more until after you benched. And after you bench, you want to make a new bracha rishona, that's fine, but you're not allowed to eat anything more until after you bench.
Isn't that lipnei? They brought him the food.
Yes, good. I that part of the story confuses me. Right. I'm with you. Amalahu salak itmar. So he says, no. If the bread is taken away, that's the signifies the end of the meal, but over here, the bread has not yet been taken away. So Rava and Rabbi Zera went to the Reish Galusa, ate by the Reish Galusa, and then the play was taken away from them, which now seems to be the signifying end of the meal. And then what was given to them was Ristana. Again, you could take a look at Rashi where it tries to help us understand what these things are. I don't know. So Ristanami Beresh Galusa, Rava Achal, Rabbi Zera Lo Achal. So now, difference of opinion. Rava said, good, I'll help myself to one. And Rav Zera refused to eat it. So Amar Lelo, Sevel Amar, Salak Amar Malachal. I'm sorry, Salak Asar Malachal. Again, what are you doing? The plates were taken away from us. The meal now has come to an end. It signifies that we're not allowed to eat until we bench. Amalei ananataka the Reish Galusa samchinan. Yeah, I kept my eyes on the plate of the Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa still had his plate in front of him, which means that even though my plate was taken away, but because the Reish Galusa still had a plate in front of him, so therefore we are still entitled. The meal is not over. Okay, the bell did not ring yet. Okay, give a bad boxing analogy. Now, Ataka Deresh Galusa Samchina, take a look at Tosfos over here. Fascinating Tosfos. Tosfos says, Misha Shachach Le'achol Afi Komen. Va'amar Havlan V'nivrech. So let's say at the Seder table, you forgot Afi Komen. You forgot to eat the Afi Komen. Okay, remember, you're now 2 cups of wine into the meal. Maybe even drink some more wine during the meal. Okay, you're tired. It's late. Erev Pesach is a long day. You just simply forgot the Afi Komen. And then you make the proclamation, let's bench. Which in halacha now is very significant because that indicates now that you're not allowed to eat anymore. But you then, after declaring, you didn't bench yet, and then after declaring Havlan V'nivrech, you wake up and you realize, oh no, we afikomen. We forgot the afikomen. So can you now go and eat the afikomen even though you've declared Havlan V'nivrech? What great language of Tosfos. He says, you're good. The meal's not over yet. Why? Because we're relying on the plate of God. Meaning, just like the Amoraim said, you know, the Reish Galusa still has his plate in front of him, the meal's not over yet. As long as the Afikoman is out there somewhere, It's ki'ilu, it's like it's ataka derachmana. That's God's plate. Meaning the meal's not over yet because there's still a mitzvah to eat afikomen, and so therefore it's not a hesach hadas. Now, and then Tosfos goes on to say, what if you did actually bench? Okay, that creates a bit of a problem. Right, see Tosfos for more discussion about that. Just
they said avlan.
Huh? Tosfos
they said avlan.
Yeah. Havlan v'nivrech.
Why don't Ashkenazim do
it? Yeah, okay. I understand. It's We whatever. I don't know. Ana nataka deresh galusa samchin. Okay. Amar Rav haraga b'shem Hashem ma'akvo. The minute back then, the best analogy I can give you is those moist towelettes that they give you at the end of the meal. Okay. I like those things. So the back then they would give everyone oil, and so I don't see oil being a good way of washing your hands, but okay.
Smell.
Yeah, it's not right. It smells wonderful. Yeah, your hands smell great. They're just oily. So haraga b'shem Hashem ma'akvo. So that means like this: if now oil is a normal telltale sign at the end of the meal, that the meal comes to an end. So once oil has been introduced for everyone to wash their hands with the oil, it's over. I'm Rav Ashi Gavin and Bei Rav Kana. I'm Alan Kigonana de Regilim b'Mamashcha Mashcha Ma'akvo. And when we were by the house of Rav Kahana, he said, "Yeah, that's our minug. Our minug is that." We wash our hands with oil at the end of the meal. So once we do that, the meal now is officially over. And to all this, the Gemara says, now what is the accepted halacha? So none of the above, not the removal of the plate, like the Gemara described earlier, not the oil. Elaki Adam or Rabbi Chia Barashi Amarav Shloshet Kifos Hain. There are 3 tekifos. What does that mean? Let's go through each one. You'll see exactly what it means. Take a smicha shchita, meaning when you bring a carbon. So you have to rest your hands on the head of the carbon. That's the mitzvah of smicha. Immediately after you do that, you have to shech the animal. There should be no pause, no gap between smicha and shchita. Okay, bimher b'yameinu. We should know this halacha. Take of l'ge'ula tefila. Right after you say the brach of Gal Yisrael, there should be no hefsek whatsoever. And then you should start Yishmona Esrei. We've seen that halacha all the way back in the beginning of the Masechta, Daf Dalet, I believe, of Smicha Geula L'Tfila. And finally, take off from the Tilas Yadayim Bracha. And when you wash your hands at the end of the meal, it's what we call Mayim Achronim. So then you should bench immediately after that. So in other words, what signifies the end of the meal? Mayim Achronim. Mayim Achronim is what signifies the end of the meal. Amar Abay Afanu Nemar, take off the Tamid Chacham in Bracha. You know, when you have a Tamid Chacham into your house, you know what comes immediately after that? Bracha. Shenema v'yivarchinu Hashem beglalech. Ibaizema me'ach shenema v'yivarch Hashem es beis ha-mitzri beglal Yosef. Once you introduce a tzaddik, a talmid chacham into your house, so immediately what you can expect afterwards is bracha in your house. It's funny, the first three are like what you would say is halacha, meaning you have to do act A, and immediately after act A, you have to do act B. But this fourth thing that's mentioned in the Gemara over here, it's not, the bracha is not something you need to do, it's something that just simply is the result of having a talmid chacham in your house, so it's not exactly the same. Okay, Tosfos is of the opinion the Tosfos take off the Tilas Yadayim bracha, so it is three wide lines down in Tosfos. V'hilkach kem shenatal yadav ba'achron alachr suda asol la'echol achivar. Okay, so that's a halacha, meaning that once you wash mayim achronim at the end of the meal, so then you can't eat anymore. It's forbidden to eat anymore. You must bench. After benching, okay, you could, you know, reopen the, you know, go back into the kitchen, but in other words, but you can't eat anymore after you do mayim achronim. And then Tosfos writes, v'hu adinim amar havlan v'nivrech afila balon etila. And Tosfos says, and the same thing would be true if you said havlan v'nivrech, meaning, and I'm assuming that Tosfos is consistent, Tosfos elsewhere says, you know, our minhag is not to do mayim achronim. Right? Many people do, some people don't. I'd say many people don't. Tosfos is of the advocacy that we don't, our minhag nowadays is not to do mayim achronim. Okay? For a different time, a different discussion of why not. Why what happened to mayim achronim? The Gemara speaks about doing mayim achronim. So, okay, but anyway, Tosfos says that when we say havlan v'nivrech, that is equivalent, that's analogous to mayim achronim. Okay, not everyone agrees with Tosfos in that havlan v'nivrech is the same thing as mayim achronim. Notably, the Shulchan Aruch is of the opinion that they're not the same. And so, okay, there's much discussion to be had about this one little Tosfos over here. Let's go on in the Gemara. We start with the Mishnah. Baruch al hayayin shelefnei hamazon, patur es hayayin shelachar hamazon. Okay, you drink wine before you start eating. Okay? So in other words, you sit down at the table. Now, again, don't think Friday night. Meaning Friday night, wine is brought out before the meal, but that's because we have something called Kiddush. We're not talking about Friday night and Kiddush. We're talking about just simply a regular meal. Now, sometimes the meal is opened up with not washing and not bread, but start off with a cup of wine. Rashi, look at the first Rashi on the Mishnah. Baruch al hayayin, v'noagin hayu lahavi kodem achila kos yayin lishtos. Okay, the minhag back in the good old days was start with a cup of wine. Again, cup of wine. Start with a glass of wine. So, k'detayin l'kamen k'etzat seder aseba mevi'in lefnem papar olsam sheikh achila k'gon pragyo v'dagin v'achar kach mevi'in ashulchan u'l'achar gemar se'uda yoshvim v'shosim v'ochlin. So, in other words, there's pre-eating, there's eating, and then there's post-eating. I know. It sounds like a lot. My best guess is that they in other words, we're fressers, meaning we eat a lot. Right. In other words, I don't know if their main meal constituted as much as what we do. But anyway, okay, but just to understand our Mishnah, you just have to know what the minhag was. The minhag back then was they had their pre-eating, then they had their eating, and then they had a little post-eating as well. Yoshim v'shosim v'ochlen v'mahin ochlen praparos kagon kisne damalu laliba. Again, you have pasta baba kistim. This Rashi over here is consistent with where we started this morning at the pasta baba kistim. V'lachmaniot v'hu yayin u'paparos shalachar amazon u'shneim konim berchas amazon. But please understand, says Rashi, everything here, our entire discussion is before benching. In other words, we're not talking about anything you're doing after benching. All this is before benching. So, now let's go back to our Mishnah. Let's read the Mishnah again, and we'll understand the Mishnah, hopefully, a little bit better. Birch alayin shelefnei hamazon. So, in other words, before the meal, before you washed. So, you had wine. Good. And obviously, that meant that you made a bar priyagafen. Pater zayayin shelachar hamazon. That'll be good for the wine that you drink after the meal. But again, remember, when I say after the meal, I mean before benching. That's important. Birch al papro shelefnei hamazon, patros al papro shelachar hamazon. You have some vegetables or any appetizer before the meal, so that'll take care of any appetizers that you have after the meal. Now again, what does that mean? It's a little bit tricky, but it means that, in other words, the parparot, those delicacies that you have after the meal, it's after the meal, but before benching. And as we learned earlier this morning, those foods are going to require a bracha onto themselves, because those are not part of the meal. So because you had these paparos before the meal, and because you made a bracha on them before the meal, that bracha will cover you all the way to the paparos that you have after the meal is over, but before you bench. So in other words, you won't need to make a new bracha rishona. Birch al pas patras al parperas. If you make a bracha over bread, you don't have to make a bracha over parperas. And al parperas al patras al pas. But if you make a bracha over parperas, you won't have to make a bracha over, I'm sorry, you will have to make a bracha over bread. That won't cover your bread. And Beit Shammai omrim aflo maisa kadera. And Beit Shammai says, not even maisa kadera. Now what is Beit Shammai talking about? Which line of the Mishnah is he going on? Stay tuned. The Gemara later on will discuss that. Hayu yoshim kol echad mevarech la'atzmo. Now, if everyone's sitting, so then everyone's going to make a bracha to themselves. Meaning, what does that mean? Sitting without haseba. In the good old days, when they would get comfortable for a meal, they wouldn't sit at the table. They would lie down. That's getting comfortable. They would eat while lying down, right? 10th parak of Pesachim. We're going to talk about this at length, right? Haseba. On Pesach, we try to reenact it. We're so awkward about it on Pesach. Because we're sitting in a chair and we're trying to lean while sitting on a chair. It's right. In other words, they had couches back then. They would lie down.
So what did they do in Pesach? I mean, the same thing.
Right? Yeah. In other words, their Pesach eating was like their... Mid-October.
In the Manishtana, they didn't say that?
Huh?
In the Manishtana, they didn't say that.
No, because during the year, they would do both.
Right.
They would do both. In fact, our Mishnah right over here, right, on Pesach only, Misubin. Yeah. So, how you Yoshin Kalechem Evarach Latzmo? So, everyone makes a bracha to themselves. Now, why? So, because sitting doesn't indicate that we're being koveya. Meaning, if everyone's sitting, everyone's kind of like not set.
Not
right? I'm not really here. I'm here, but I'm getting up. Right? It's a pet peeve of mine at the table. Like no one's sitting. Everyone's like kind of like sitting up, sit up. In other words, good. The Mishnah speaks to that idea. Meaning that if you're Yoshev, that's not stationary. But Hesebu, Echa Mevarech L'Kurum. But if we're stationary, so now good. We're all now in a good state of mind. We're all in a good frame of mind. So one person can make now the bracha for everyone else around the table. Good.
That's better. Like,
it's funny. The Gemara over here doesn't say what's better. Just simply action reaction. If we're sitting, which means we're not koveya, everyone makes a bracha for themselves. Once we're okay.
But the other way, you just say it's better to have one person say.
I don't know. I understand your question. I don't know. Okay. Top of the next amud. Balem yain b'soch hamazon. Kol echavach mevarech la'atzmo. Now, what about wine during the meal? Now, Rashi points out that wine during the meal is not really that normal. Meaning, it's normal to have wine before the meal. It's normal to have wine after the meal. In the middle of the meal, it's not normal. So, therefore, everyone makes a bracha to themselves. Achar hamazon echem nevarech l'kulam. But after the meal is over, and you're having your post-meal wine. Now remember, it's before benching, one person will make a bracha for everyone because that's normal. Now who's going to make the bracha over the mugmar? This is a nice minhag, right? Obviously we wouldn't do this on Shabbos, it requires burning, but at the end of the meal what they would do is that they would bring some coals to the middle of the table, they would take some incense, some spices, throw it right on the coals, and it would create a wonderful fragrance. And they would make a bracha at this fragrance at the end of the meal. So who is mechubad, right? Mechubad with the bracha of mugmar. So the Mishnah says it's the same person who made the bracha on yayin. Since he started with the, I'm the bracha maker of the evening, so therefore he continues to be the bracha maker for the remainder of the evening, even over the mugmar. Shabbos Yontif, right? It's normal to have wine. And so therefore, once you make a bracha on wine in the beginning of the meal, or even before the meal, so then it's going to cover all the wine during the meal. But the rest of the year, it's not normal to drink wine. I mean, the rest of the year. Meaning all the other days, it's not normal, so therefore, you're going to need to make a bracha over every cup of wine. It is normal at these times to have wine in the course of the meal. But rest of the year, you have a cup of wine before the meal, you made a bracha of yain before the meal. Since you are not have in mind to have wine during the meal, therefore it's going to require a new bracha in the middle of the meal as well. Rava bar Mari klebe Rav Bechol. Rava bar Mari visited Rava on a weekday. Chayzid debrach lefneamazon. So he had his traditional glass of wine before the meal. Vahad debrach laachar hamazon. Followed then by a wine after the meal, and he made a new bracha because it was a weekday. He wasn't expected to have wine after the meal. Amar lei yi asher. Okay, our first yishakoach in the Gemara. Many more to follow. V'chein amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. And Rav Yehoshua ben Levi says the same thing as well. That during the week, since you're not expecting to have a cup of wine after the meal, so therefore you're going to have to make a new bracha of yain after the meal. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef ikla be'abaye be'yom tov. So another visitation. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef visited Abaye on Yotav Chazyei. Debarech akol kasa v'kasa. So what did he do? He made a bracha bar pirag often over every cup of wine. But this is yantiv. Doesn't seem right. Amar lo several amar lahad Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. Didn't Rav Yehoshua ben Levi say that on Shabbos and yantiv you're expecting to drink more wine later? Shouldn't you only have to make one bracha? And shouldn't that one bracha be able to cover it all? Amar lo nimlachana. He says no. You should know. I didn't think I was going to drink another glass of wine. I'm not a drinker. So I thought that my first cup of wine was my last cup of wine. And so therefore, I made a new bracha. Okay. Now, as we mentioned in the Mishnah, wine before the meal, normal. Wine after the meal, that's normal. Drinking wine during the meal, it's unusual. It was not the normal practice. So if I have wine during the meal, and I made a bracha of wine during the meal, is that going to be able to cover me for the wine that I drink after the meal? Look, the wine before the meal, that's drinking wine. The wine after the meal, that's drinking wine. So I could see how the bracha over the wine before the meal is going to cover the wine after the meal. But the wine that I drink during the meal, that's not drinking wine, that's submerging wine, drowning wine. Meaning I drink that wine just to get the food down. In other words, but that's not for the purposes of drinking. So in other words, it's drinking, but for a different purpose. So maybe, suggests the Gemara, the wine that I have during the meal will not go together with the wine that I have after the meal, and therefore I need to make a bracha on the wine during the meal and the wine after the meal. Odim alo shna, or maybe there's no difference. Rav Amar poter, Rav Kahana Amar, eino poter. Machlokes Amarayim between Rav and Rav Kahana, and the Rambam follows like Rav Kahana.
Why is that, Rav Kahana sitting with Rav? I mean, it was his Rav, no?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
So.
It's a good question.
This is a case that they didn't have wine before.
Correct. Right. Yeah, absolutely correct.
Maybe you learned. All right.
Oh yeah, yeah. No. We'll stop over here because Rav Nachman Potter, Rav Sheshes Amar, Eino Potter. You're right, Phil. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, V'chol Tamida, Rav Amar, Eino Potter. Okay. We'll stop over here. Good. All right. Tomorrow, pick it up. Eighth day. ובחנאי מן הקשר מהרוס הקשר ברוך הוא זק וסול הפיך הכי בן תור מצו שנמר עד עני חפץ המנציקו יגדיל תורה בידו